Boston Celtics stay alive for now. They force a game five, which will be tomorrow evening at TD Garden, as this series is Miami Heat 3 and the Boston Celtics 1. Let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in a man that covers the Boston Celtics for the Boston Globe and covers all things NBA for the Boston Globe as well. And that, of course, is Gary Washburn. Gary, appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's doing great. Appreciate you coming on. So in game three, it was a horrible effort by the Boston Celtics. I thought they were going to pack it up and basically go home and they were going to lose last night. And they had a big third quarter. Were you surprised by that effort that the Celtics showed in the third quarter last night?
Absolutely nothing with this team surprises me anymore. So, I mean, they could have gotten blown out last night. They could have lost a really close game with a lack of fourth quarter execution. Or they could have did what they actually did, win by 17 and look like the team that everybody expected them to look like in this series in the second half. So, you know, this team is so unpredictable at this point, and that's one of the reasons why they're in the position they're in down 3-1. So I didn't know what to expect from last night.
Why hasn't it just clicked for this team this year? I know everyone points to Joe Mazzulla and the Ime Udoka situation, but it just seems like that killer instinct isn't there and something's off with the Celtics this year.
Well, I think last year under Udoka, their main, you know, calling card was defense. And they wanted to be a good defensive team, a great defensive team, and then be able to score. Well, that got them to the finals. They didn't score enough in the finals to win the finals. They were a couple of shooters short. They didn't know how to close out games. Offense was an issue. So, you know, fast forward to this year, and they put a lot of emphasis on offense. They brought in Malcolm Brogdon, and they signed Danilo Gallinari, who obviously hasn't played this year because he tore his ACL playing for Team Italy in the World Championships, the Eurobasket, and he's been out all year. But they got two guys who could score, and they felt like our defense is good enough. We need to score the ball more. But what happened was the lack of emphasis on defense ended up hurting them, and the defense regressed while the offense was actually pretty good throughout the year. So they would win a lot of games by outscoring teams. They would win, you know, they led the league in point differential, and they were great when they were scoring and the threes were going down. But winning these tough, rugged defensive games, that became their problem. And that's just carried into the playoffs where, you know, when those shots are going down, they're the best team in the NBA. But when they got to win a game 98-92 and they got to execute, you got to get, you know, scratch out a tough win, that becomes a problem.
Gary Washburn here with us. We know how young this team is with their two stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and how many big games they've already played in. You look at Tatum, I know in Game 7 against the Sixers, he puts on one of the great performances, most points ever in a Game 7 with 51. Up until last night, didn't have a made field goal in the fourth quarter in this series. Some of those bad fourth quarters were documented in the NBA Finals last year up against Golden State. What do you think needs to change with Tatum in the fourth quarter? Because when he's on, he's incredible. But then when he's off, it's like, wow, how the heck is this happening?
Well, it's sort of a Tatum thing and a team thing. They need to put them in better positions to score in the fourth quarter because Miami, as a lot of teams, have said, you know what? We're not letting him beat us. We're not letting him go for 51. We're going to make anybody else take care of that. We're going to make someone else score in the fourth quarter. So they're blitzing Tatum, and Tatum is sometimes forces the issue and makes mistakes. Sometimes his shot is not on. Sometimes, you know, he tries to make the right play and his teammate's not hitting the shot. So I don't think it's all Tatum. I do think that there are times where his three-point shot is off. He's not the three-point shooter that he was in previous years. And as you see in Game 4, his three-point shot was going down. When it's going down, it looks great. He looks like a, you know, a top 10 three-point shooter in the league. But when it's not, that affects the rest of his game. So he's got to learn, one, how to be more of a playmaker, which he's learning to do. He's really improved in that category. And two, his teammates have to hit shots and also get him the ball in places where he can score. You can't just take on, You know, the mistake he was making earlier in the Miami series was trying to take on two and three defenders and dribble into the teeth of the defense and either try to make a pass or, you know, a little floater or get to the rim. And either, you know, he missed the layup, he wasn't getting the call, or he wasn't, you know, finding his teammate. So it just meant, you know, kind of, you know, chaos for the Celtics offense. So I don't want to put it all on Tatum, but he needs to be better as a playmaker, and the game will open up for him once he finds his teammates.
You've covered this team for years. How do you describe the relationship between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
They're close. They're good. I think that we tend to stereotype Generation Zers? Or, I don't know what they are. The kids born in the 90s, and now some of these guys in the league are born in the 2000s. We kind of put them all in one category. We say they're all the same guy. They all love Instagram. They all like to wear different sneakers and all that. That's not the case. Jason and Jaylen are different people. Jason's a father. Jaylen's a social activist. They have different interests off the floor. But on the floor, they have a very healthy respect for each other. They do not dislike each other. They're not pitted against each other. They're a 1-2 punch that could make it and be very, very successful, and they have in the NBA. You know, now, do their games kind of repeat at times? Do they have kind of the same skill sets? You could say that. So that might be the only thing that makes it to where they can't be that dynamic duo that wins multiple championships. But off the floor, their relationship is strong. They are not, you know, jealous. There's no jealousy. There's nothing about either of them. They know how important it is for each other to flourish for them to win a championship potentially.
There's so much smoke in the conversation of Jaylen Brown, and does he want to stay in Boston? He has 1 year left on that deal. Do you think he wants to be a Boston Celtic for that next contract?
I think he wants to go wherever he feels like he's treated properly, and I think Boston, obviously, he likes playing in Boston. I think that, does he have problems with some of the, you know, social elements of the city? Does he have a problem with being in trade rumors and being the guy that people say, well, they can't trade Tatum, but they can trade Brown? Like, and I think a lot of that smoke is kind of generated outside the organization. Now, of course, like when Kevin Durant was available, did the Celtics talk to the Nets, and was his name thrown in there? Of course it was. It's Kevin Durant, you know. But we're not talking about a trade for a generational talent. You're not talking about a trade for a guy you feel like you're better than. So I think Jaylen sometimes needs to get over his feelings in that sense, but I do think he felt a little bit disrespected that he was being thrown into these rumors. So I think he likes Boston. I don't think it's a matter of, like, he's ready to get out and get me out of here. I think he wants to go where he's treated and he can be happy. His family is up here, so it's not like he's not trying to put his roots in this community.
Has Boston done anything wrong, in your opinion? I'm talking about the organization, where he would feel that they're not treating him the right way, outside of the Durant thing?
I just hear the trade rumors, and I think that's probably just pretty much it. I think, you know, he wants to feel like he's a cornerstone, and he feels like he's an improving player, you know. And so I don't think it's like a situation where it's not a situation like John Collins in Atlanta or Miles Turner in Indiana, where those guys have been in trade rumors for 2 to 3 years. I don't think it's that strong, but I just think he wants to feel comfortable, and maybe the trade rumors and they can, you know, it's a time to break up the Jays and all that. I think that's bothered him some.
Gary Washburn, a lot's been said about Joe Mazzulla. Just what's your evaluation of him so far as a coach? I know it's a tough situation, and maybe he wasn't ready for it, but when you get that opportunity, you get evaluated.
I think he's done a very good job in many cases. I think there's certain things he's been stubborn about. I think the timeout situation, some of the lineups have been curious, some playing guys in certain situations, not playing guys in others, not kind of sticking to your convictions in a situation like such as like this series, where Eric Spoelstra has thrown so many defenses and wrinkles at him, and he seemed unprepared for that. And we all understand you're coaching against a guy who's a basketball mastermind, headed for the Hall of Fame, one of the great coaches in the game, and you're going to lose that match, but you got to make it a little bit closer. So I think he's still a young, learning, inexperienced coach who has a lot of room to grow, but I also think he's done a good job in keeping the ship afloat and taking him this far. So the Celtics are going to have to decide, you know, if they lose this series, if they're knocked out, what needs to change between this year and next year, because their championship window is now, and they have to determine whether Rasula is the right coach to lead them to a championship. You know, there's plenty of coaches. We've just seen two or three, and Budenholzer, Williams, and Doc Rivers, who have gotten fired because they were good coaches and their teams were very good, but they wanted their teams to be great. And that, I'm not saying it's going to be the situation here, but that's something the Celtics have to contemplate.
With how crazy of a situation that was and how unique it was, I know Brad already went upstairs to take on the front office role. Should he have gone down and coached this team when they realized that Udoka was not going to be the coach of the squad this year?
I don't think you want someone who doesn't want to be there, right? I mean, the reason Brad resigned and became president was because he was losing the team. That 2021 year when they lost to Brooklyn in five games and they were 36-36 coming off the bubble year where they made the Eastern Conference Finals and they were close to a final, two wins from an NBA Finals appearance, he knew, like, I'm not getting through to these guys like I should. They were a 500 team. They were just, you know, they dealt with injuries and, you know, the Kemba Walker wasn't what he once was and all that. But it was obvious Brad was losing the locker room. And I'm not talking about, you know, they didn't like him, but just the message. 8-9 years, and it was time to move forward. So I don't think Brad thought, oh, okay, after a year I'm refreshed and suddenly my message is going to be new and fresh and clear. I think he felt like, why put him there if he doesn't want to be there? He wants someone eager. I think Brad likes being a general manager. You know, he has two children who are in high school. He can be in Boston. You know, he can kind of be behind the scenes. He's been a very behind-the-scenes general manager. You know, you see him, now you see him, now you don't. He doesn't talk to the media much. He kind of keeps a very low profile. I think that's the way he wanted it.
Gary Washburn, you hear so much about this team not being able to move on, not having Ime Udoka as their head coach. Not talking about on the court, just like in the locker room. Are they past that, or is that still something that this group inside the locker room is not over?
I think they've moved on because they've had to, because life never stops, and you know, you can't keep thinking of your coach, oh, I wish he was here, he ain't coming back. But I don't think they were comfortable with the circumstances of, like, why he was suspended. They, you know, I think a lot of people thought there would be a lot more of the story that would come out, and the Celtics really haven't relayed those details to the players. They feel like they're one of the regular people that, like everybody else, they just know it was inappropriate actions in a consensual relationship with the team employee. And then the fact that he's jumped right back into the coaching fray and that there hasn't been a lot of backlash. I don't know what's going on in Houston, but I haven't heard a lot of backlash about his hiring in Houston. You know, he faced the music at his press conference. He's, compiling a staff. You know, it's kind of gotten back to basketball. So I think some of the players might question, well, why did we do this drastic move of suspending him for the year when, you know, we could have maybe suspended him for a month? And so I think those questions, but I don't think those questions are just like constantly in the locker room 7-8 months later either.
Gary Washburn, before we let you run, this is probably the toughest question I'm going to ask you, because like you said at the start, nothing surprises you with this team, and this team's been so unpredictable. Do you think they win Game 5 tomorrow night?
I think they do because they have some momentum, and I think they might have figured out a few things with Miami, but it's going to be a very tough game. You know, and you know what? If Miami wins three times at the Garden in the series, they deserve to win the series of the better team. So the Celtics have to defend home court. They haven't been good at home for the last two postseasons. So I think they'll win the game because I think they tactically found some things out that they can do against the Heat, but it will be a rugged and tough game.
Gary Washburn does a great job covering the Celtics for the Boston Globe. Always great to catch up with you, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you.